all day long.
Yeah.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
There's a fucking dead baby mole on the ground, and she's rolling in it. She's like rolling back and forth on the dead baby mole.
Meanwhile, you had gotten close enough to smell
I
fur.
Know. I'm like licking her fur, trying to identify. What is that?
Taking up energy and space in yourself.
Yeah, and I don't have any energy or space.
No.
Yeah, I do this show three fucking times a week.
Exactly.
And for every hour I record, there's 6 hours of preparation and studio technology that needs to be fixed.
Quick, go pee on their grave.
I can imagine this wedding. I'm imagining this wedding at like a Holiday Inn somewhere.
Yeah,
you know what
that's
I'm saying?
Picturing,
yeah, like a Motel 6.
Yeah. Type. Yeah.
Really bright lights and, you know, a DJ in the corner playing his first generation iPod. You know, I'm
so we're in Florida.
So probably.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
And best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us on yet another episode of this, The Commercial Break. It's not for everyone, but fact, news, or fiction is guaranteed in 15 seconds or less. The TCB podcast. .com website is where you'll go to collect your earnings.
Whee.
You know what the gift? You know what's the gift that keeps on giving?
Frankie B.
Spider webs. I fucking hate spider webs.
Spider web.
Do you know what a Joro spider is?
Yes, it's the ones that are the
huge
big ones.
Yeah. Like the ones the size of your
they're
hand.
They're colorful.
They're like they got yellow and green,
yes,
all over them.
There was one at my grandfather's house one time, in between two bushes.
Oh. And they look particularly nasty, but they won't. Apparently, they're even if they bite you, it's like, you know, you get an irritation.
Yeah.
And they won't bite unless they're really prodded. Like, they're very docile, apparently, but I don't want anything
right,
to do
no.
with them. And the Joro spiders have found that my house is the best place to live on the entire block because they are all over the cracks and crevices of the outside of the house. And it drives me crazy. So now every time I take out my trash or I take the kids out or I go do something back near the pool, I get Joro spider webs all over my face in my head.
Whoa.
And it creeps me the fuck out.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who thinks that every time you walk through a spider web, there's a spider on your back?
Yeah.
Like
no,
I've got the spider on my back.
Absolutely. It's somewhere in the vicinity.
I
and
hate it.
And you can't get it off of you,
No,
too.
You can't. They're really good at doing what they do. They're really
they
good
are.
At making that. And I try and pour, I spray it with water. It doesn't matter. They don't go away.
Mm.
They never go away.
You're going to have to live with the Joros.
Or I can get some insecticide and kill those little sons of bitches. But I know that they're probably eating the things that I really don't want in the house.
Correct.
Like roaches and ants
right.
and fleas and stuff like that. Of course, Blue's bringing those in on a daily basis. So there
yeah,
you go.
She's something.
I told that dog, I said, why don't you go outside and take a walk, stroll down the street.
Let's go for a run,
go
down,
for
the
a run down the street. Chase that truck, Blue. Get it. We love you. Right home. Send a postcard.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that dog.
I know.
I don't know. So
you're
the other
stuck with her.
I know. The other day, she comes in the house, and she smells like a hot bag of ass. I mean, this dog.
Her and Nico now?
I mean, this dog smells like, you know, I don't know, like two really sweaty human beings making love. And I was like, I know, her and Nico.
Yeah.
And I was like, we already have one stink bomb walking around the house. We don't need two. We already have one dead dog in the house. We don't need two smelling dead dogs in the house. And so I'm trying to like identify where this stink is coming from because she usually doesn't smell. And it's coming from like her gullet area, like right around her gimlet, the giblets, whatever you call it. The dingus, the dangus, I'm not sure.
The rooster thing?
The rooster neck. Yeah, it's coming from a rooster neck. And so I'm like, oh, Blue, what is that? How do you smell that gross? Like over the last couple of days, you just kind of grossed out like that? She doesn't need a haircut. So I thought maybe she just got like, she got wet or something, you know, drinking water and the hair got in there. Well, I'm out there the other day and I'm fucking on a phone call and Blue's right behind me and I see Blue rolling around out in the grass like a crazy person. She's just like doing rolls back and forth across the lawn. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? She's literally like rolling on her side back and forth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going on out there? It's a weirdly strange behavior for this dog.
Living her best life.
I guess so. So I go over there. There's a fucking dead baby mole on the ground and she's rolling in it. She's like rolling back and forth on the dead baby mole.
Meanwhile, you had gotten close enough to smell
I know. I'm like licking her fur trying to identify. What is that? that old potatoes? What? Is that a rapist? What is that?
A dead mole.
It's a dead mole. I'm like, Blue, did you kill it or did you just find it and decide to roll in it? It's the grossest thing I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And so I immediately put on gloves and I brought her inside like she was toxic. And I put her in the bath. And I filled the bathtub up like halfway. And I just started rolling her around in the water.
Yeah,
she hated it. Yeah. Oh, she hates it. She's like a cat. She hates the water.
She hates the water.
Nico will just stand there because I don't think he thinks he has any choice.
He doesn't.
He's like, oh, this feels nice. Is this when I go?
Nico.
Is this my time?
Oh, Lord, Nico.
Poor Nico. We're not going to be laughing two, four, 6 months from now when it's all said and done. Poor guy. Yeah, it's coming close.
Hopefully he lasts through Halloween.
I go to the fucking vet. He'll last through Halloween. He'll be here 6 years from now. I know it. He just keeps on kicking.
It does.
He's getting skinnier and weirder and smellier as we go on. But I just, like, you got to love him because he's such a sweet dog.
He's very sweet.
Yeah, even though he's a ghost dog, he's like Casper, the friendly ghost. He just keeps on walking. So I take him to the vet the other day, and I'm like, hey, it's clear. Like, he's got the doggy dementia. He won't leave my side ever. He's always right. I take one step backwards. He does too. One step forward. He's always right by my side. And that's for dogs, there's a couple clear signs of dementia. They get confused when they're outside. Like, they don't know why they're there.
Right.
They start spinning
Which
in circles.
He's done.
He's been doing that for 6 months.
Yeah.
They start getting really close to you because it's one thing they can identify with, and they're scared of being someone else. They get nervous. Sometimes he won't go outside. He's like scared, and there's no particular reason. It's not thunderstorm or anything like that. So I take him in and I say, and now he's having a hard time laying down because his hips, and he's looking really skinny because he's having a hard time eating. And I'm like, hey, doc, you know, so I've been through this a number of times with dogs. And they say that people who have been through this process with dogs do it quicker. Because they know they don't want to see the dog suffer.
That's right.
Right. The first one, you just take it straight to the end. You're like, no, I'm going to do whatever
it
takes. And then the next one, you're like, wait, let's not go through all the drama. He's going to suffer. Let's just do what we got to do.
I grew up with animals, dogs and cats. And it's,
Yeah.
Once you've done it one time, then you just know.
It's like those old Western guys that used to take the horse out back and shoot it when it got a pimple. You know, it's like, well, he's dead. So I take him to the vet. And I'm thinking, and my vet's wonderful. So I'm thinking, like, my vet's going to, he's going to tell me.
Well, they love you because you're there all the time.
Oh, fucking A, right, dude. My pet insurance hates us. They have been trying to find a reason to kick us off that policy for years. And the reason is Nico and number two is Blue. They must have a whole, like, when they do company projections, they're like, well, we had a great third quarter where we got $23 million in new life insurance, new insurance policies, but we lost $1 million. Why did we lose $1 million? Well, there's. Let's look at this pie chart here. Nico, the ghost dog, and then 25% is Blue. We spend so much money on those dogs. And so I take him in, and I'm like, hey, doc, here's the situation. And he knows. He's seen Nico, right? And he's like, well, he's probably that teeth, that mouth. So we're probably going to – I probably want to put him under and pull those. I'm like, he has two teeth left. You want to give the dog the indignity of pulling the last two fucking teeth? Let's give him some teeth. Like, let's just leave him with one or two teeth.
Right now?
No, we have to put water in the food so we can, like, slop it up. Pretty soon I'm going to be making the dog smoothies for breakfast. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore. Even the soft food is, like, he really has to have, like, it's got to be liquid, basically. And that's part of the reason why he's skinny. It's because he can't eat anything except for extraordinarily soft food.
That makes sense. Yep.
And he started like begging. He's never been a beggar. And the reason why he's begging is because he's fucking hungry. Right.
Right.
And so we found a way to feed him anyway. So I go to, and I'm like, hey, doc, I don't know. Like putting the dog down
time?
And it, you know,
is it time?
So I said, when do we start thinking about this? And he's like, well, let's start him on a doggy painkiller and we'll do a doggy anti-inflammatory. We'll do a doggy anti-confusion. We'll do a doggy anti-anxiety. And then we'll give him two of these and three of those. And I'm like, you want to give the dog $700 worth of medications every month? Well, we'll probably squeeze a few extra months out of him. Like, squeeze a few extra months out of him. He's been dead for 2 years. Can't we just let him go? But I mean, I'm not the professional. Like, you know, I don't want to. I also don't want to be that guy who like walks in and goes, well, time to put the dog down. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I did that with my cat.
Did you just say, I got to put him down?
Yeah, it was after a while. I mean, she was.
But your cat was 36 years old.
Yeah. She
lived for three cat lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think I should just go in there?
I donated her body to science.
You did?
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm going to do the same with Nico.
To Emery.
I wonder what they're going to find out about that dog. This dog's been dead for 10 years. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe I just have to go in and put my foot down and be like, I don't want the dog to suffer anymore.
No.
He can't lay down. He's only sleeping. He's totally confused. He can't eat.
Yeah.
I mean, he wags his tail every once in a while, but every time he wags his tail, it just makes the whole house stink. So what's a boy to do?
I don't know.
I don't want to let him go, but at some point you got to let him
go. I'll be there for you guys.
Thanks.
You maybe I'll give him some
NyQuil chicken.
Yeah, the NyQuil chicken.
Have you heard about this one?
Oh my God, I have no clue why anybody started this.
I think you have to have a real dick in your ear in order to believe that NyQuil chicken is going to cure your cough.
I mean, it tastes awful to begin with. Why do you want to put it on the chicken?
Just put it in some drink.
Like everybody,
they're frying it. So listen, here's how it goes. You take two raw pieces of chicken breast.
Okay.
And then you pour half a bottle
Ugh.
Of NyQuil. I mean, I've drank NyQuil.
Yeah.
When you're desperately sick. And one time for recreational purposes, because it was like when everybody was figuring out that NyQuil could get you high, like, you know, Tussin DM or whatever it was. And it was disgusting. I mean, I hated it. I hated the way it made me feel. I don't know why I was doing it.
You were young.
Well, listen, first 30 years of my life were a little confusing. I'm not sure why I did anything. But you pour it over the chicken, half a bottle, and then you fry it, and then you cook it until the NyQuil reduces into the chicken.
It's so gross.
It's like a fucking flambé that's going to kill you.
Ugh.
Because the reality about, you're basically taking out all of the extra juice in the NyQuil and just leaving the highly toxic medicine into the chicken. And if you were to eat one breast of chicken that half a bottle of NyQuil and all the ingredients are just soaked into it, you would be fucked up for days.
Yeah, right. I mean, the thing I read about it said don't do it.
Yeah, I mean,
like on CNN. Yeah.
The truth is that, like, I mean, I think this has got to be a joke.
Some things are good hacks.
Like yeah, some things are good
hacks.
Yeah. Yeah, like
you know, cleaning the oven with vinegar.
Yeah,
and
that's
baking
a good one.
Soda.
Yeah, like what's another one?
Yeah, there's all kinds.
Okay, there's all kinds.
There's good stuff.
There's good stuff.
But this is a bad one.
Bad stuff. Like penicillin penne pasta is not what we should be teaching the children. Meatball morphine. I mean, come on, guys. It's like it's got to stop somewhere. This is not a brilliant idea, and I can't believe that anybody is actually doing this. It feels like a joke to me. And you know what does this? And I saw an interesting, you know, John Oliver does that show.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So last week he did an episode about local news and how local news for about 30 years since the birth of eyewitness action news, cheap stories that proliferate these trends and these crimes that really aren't happening everywhere, but it makes you feel like it's happening everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like the multicolored morphine, fentanyl pills that are being handed out as candy.
All over the place.
Why in the fuck would a drug dealer choose to give out his extraordinarily expensive fentanyl to children that are 6 years old? Well, to what benefit? To what end? How can they afford it? John Oliver was right. How can they afford it?
Yeah.
But someone proliferates this and makes it a big deal. And then it spreads like wildfire and every parent believes it. And they're all looking for Skittle-colored morphine in their fucking kid's bag. I am not worried about, and I know drug dealers. I'm not worried about them giving free fentanyl to my child because it makes no sense whatsoever. You got to wait until they're old enough to pay for the rest of it, right? It's so fucking stupid.
Yes.
And this is NyQuil chicken, I think, is another one of these things that's getting just propagated throughout the universe when it has no reason to be propagated through the universe. One moron on TikTok did this because he thought it was going to be fucking funny to put it on TikTok.
Yeah.
It got 1 million likes and 17 million views. No one else has ever done it. And yet the news just picks up on it like it's like everybody's doing NyQuil chicken. No one does NyQuil chicken. It's like Tide Pods.
No,
was anybody really eating Tide Pods?
Did that really happen? Yeah, I don't know. Why. And now it's so annoying because I can't get into the
bag. I can't get into my fucking bag.
I have to cut it.
I leave it open.
I'm
like, the kids eat a couple Tide Pods. That's the price of admission. What am I going to do? If you're stupid enough to eat that Tide Pod, son, God bless you. I hope it tastes good. I mean, I'm just kidding, of course. I would never do that.
I put it
up on a shelf. If they can climb up there and get it, then that's a different story.
Exactly. I've got mine on a shelf.
Yeah. I go into my mom's house the other day, and she's like, can you do me a favor? Can you open the Tide Pods? And I'm like, what? Yeah. And she's like, can you open the Tide Pods? I said, sure, Mom. She goes, I can never get that thing open.
No, you can't.
And so she says, just open it. I go, okay. And then I go to put it back. And she says, no, honey, just throw away the top. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, throw away the top? Really, Mom? You just want like Tide Pods open there? She's like, I can never open it. So I don't want it.
It's so hard.
To be closed. And so I get it.
Yeah.
100%. But I guarantee you that not, I guarantee you that if they ran that story a million times, that for every 1,000 times that story was on television, there was like half an incident, right?
Yeah.
Where like one child might have put it in his mouth and quickly decided that's not tasting good.
Right.
And throw it away. Not enough to get sick. Now, if there is anybody who did this, then, you know, I feel for the parents of the child. But it's just these dumb stories that keep on getting, you know,
spread around. Run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. NyQuil chicken is not happening. No one is eating NyQuil fucking chicken.
No. I mean,
like Crack Rice Krispy Treats. Now that's a different story altogether. Ooh. I've been making those in my, I give those to the kids every year.
That's right.
I give those to the 21-year-olds to show up at my house, knock on the door for trick or treats. Have fun, kids.
Yeah, we are coming up on Halloween.
Yeah, have fun, kids. Don't throw the eggs at my house. Thanks. Yes. Just remember who gave you that sugary treat. Chrissy.
Yes.
Brian. Think about the person that you dated that you dislike the most.
Mm.
I mean, the person in your life that you had some kind of attraction to, sexual, interlude with.
Right.
That you just, dating, boyfriend, super serious relationship, whatever, on the spectrum, but you dislike the most. Like when you think of them today, still makes your teeth grind.
Mm-hmm.
It gets you right in your gullet.
Yeah.
Right in your dingus. Okay.
I'm a dingus. Yes.
Now, imagine that person passes away.
Okay.
Okay. And for years, you've been telling Jeff how much you hate this person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Jeff decides, well, Chrissy, I'm going to make good on this. I'm going to make sure that you get your revenge on this person. And Jeff goes, and every day for 7 years, he goes and he pees on the grave of the person who has passed away.
What?
This really happened in New Jersey. I'm not even kidding you.
That, then somebody needs some mental health.
Well, yeah, obviously.
mental health.
So here's the story. Guy has a bitter, obviously, bitter divorce with his ex-wife. And she gets laid to rest. And when she gets laid to rest, he finds out where her plot is. And he goes. And every day for years, day for 48 years.
What? 48 years?
That's what it said. Now, I don't know. The story was in a legitimate newspaper. He goes
Did
and
they
he
never travel
pisses on the grave. No, I guess
day.
Not.
Every day? Never left town.
What they do is they buy tickets back in the morning and then they fly back out. You know,
just to get it in.
Legitimate. I did that once for a doctor's appointment. Like I had to go to the doctor. So I flew out where I was going. And in the middle of the trip, I had the doctor's appointment. So I flew back for the doctor's appointment. And then I flew back. Yeah, it was a whole fucking fucked up situation. But, you know, the doctors, like you get an appointment and then if you try and change your appointment, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll see you 17 months from now. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do that. I got to take care of this immediately. I got a pingus and my dingus. And I got I gotta figure out, I got low T and
low T.
I got low T.
Why Brian
3000? So this guy's been pissing on the grave for 48 years.
That seems extreme.
So the family of the woman is like, they start noticing that this guy took it up a notch and he started pooping on the grave. Not even kidding. He started pooping on the grave and then he was like leaving it in bags, like on the grave. He was leaving shit on the grave. So the family of the woman started to notice. And the first time they caught it, they were like, wow, that must have been like a homeless person, you know, that just had to go to the bathroom or whatever and just misplaced this.
Yeah.
By the third time it happened, they were like, no, this is fucked up. And they watched and they saw that their mom's ex-husband was pissing and shitting on the grave of this woman for years.
That's some hatred in your heart.
Are you kidding me? That is insane. Imagine how. Now, I want you to think back about that guy that you dislike so much, the person that really tore your heart apart.
Yeah.
Would you take it to that extreme?
No, I forgave him a long time ago. Sorry.
Doesn't make my story any better, Chrissy. Just to play along a little bit. It's a commercial break. No one takes any of this seriously. They're not coming to us for their news digest every day. I can think of the person that I dislike the most.
Yeah, I can too.
Yeah, you probably dislike her too. We
That's
both
right.
dislike her the most. And I can't, I don't think I'd ever do that.
No. That's, well.
I let it go.
Yeah, you let, yeah, it, you go, let it go. And it's taking up energy and space in yourself.
Yeah, and I don't have any energy or space.
No.
Yeah, I do this show 3 fucking times a week.
Exactly.
And for every hour I record, there's 6 hours of preparation and studio technology that needs to be fixed.
Quick, go pee on their grave. God. That's awful.
I could think of like moments.
Was there like a repercussion?
Oh, of course. They arrested the guy and they caught him and they arrested the guy. Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing is that what was the most fucked up about this story is the fact that the new wife of this guy was sitting in the car almost every time they saw him do this. So my suspicion is, is that she was the one that was poking him along.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I want you to go piss on her grave. Like, you know, she fucking, you know, maybe they were giving her alimony or something and that really pissed her off. I mean, I can think of a few people who are given alimony checks and every time they write that check,
it's
they'd like
maddening.
To piss on that check.
Yeah, no, it's maddening.
For sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can think of a few moments in the relationship when I probably would have been upset enough to do something silly. But I can't think like actual,
no,
you know, pissing on someone's grave. Once they're dead, they're like, what else is there?
Well, right. Yeah. Like they're gone. Like it's not hurting them anymore.
What am I going to do? Yeah. How much do I have to go?
I guess it's kind of a saying though. Like I would piss on your grave. You know, is it?
Yeah.
Is
it's a saying?
Is that a saying?
Yeah. Cause the Irish people did that a lot. My folk, my people, they would pee on graves. If they didn't like you, that was the thing, you know?
Okay, well.
Yeah, but this is back in the day before you could post something on the internet or make a video like Frankie B does talking about your ex.
I bet he would piss on some people.
Oh, God, Chrissy. Mm-hmm. It is just like he is 1 second away on that last episode we did. He is 1 second away from saying this lady's name.
Yeah,
one
he was
second away.
Hot.
He was so
his
fucking
his face
hot.
Was red. His neck was red. Even redder.
He was charged up. I know. It's normally a red leathery ball. And right. He really got charged up.
He was fired up.
Never seen him scream at the
party at the, girl.
Party girl.
She's a party.
What are you thinking? And then, guys, if she never introduces you as her boyfriend, she always says you guys are just friends. It's likely you're not in the zone, guys. You're not in the zone. Let it go. Yeah. Maybe you should take
thanks
that
for
advice.
The tip.
Yeah, thanks for the tip. So the TCB hotline and email has been a flutter, as it always is, and so
ring,
ring. We always get.
I like to hear that. Please, people, keep it coming.
Yeah. People like to write us in, and they we're now have kind of got this the ball rolling of people sending us stories and asking for advice and all this, like ask TCB, tell your, you know, Tattletale Fridays, whatever you want to call it, whatever name we've given it that we didn't
Fridays.
Yeah, Tattletale Fridays, whatever name we gave it that we never stuck with.
Right. No, we changed up all the time.
Hey, everybody, it's that time in the commercial break when we take a short commercial break. You know the drill by now, so I'm not going to drag on. TCBpodcast.com is where you go if you want to watch any of the videos or listen to any of the audio of our entire library. Hit the Contact Us form and email us content ideas, questions, concerns, or comments. 661-237-8296. That's 661-BEST-2-YO. Send us a text message. It's not a spam text message line. We will reply. YouTube.com/the commercial break is where you find our video version. It's completely different than the audio version. Please hit subscribe and like on your favorite video. Make sure you use those specialized URLs and codes from our sponsors. They give you free shit, and we certainly would appreciate it. Rate us and review us on your favorite podcast player, and know that we're grateful for every one of you. Now, let's hear from those sponsors, and then we'll quickly be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. Hey, everybody, gotta let you know about our sponsor, American Musical Supply. We're a musical household here at Casa de Green, and that means lots and lots of instruments laying around the house. Drums, guitars, piano, you name it, we've got it. And that's why I'm excited to partner with American Musical Supply, because they have everything our family will need for our growing musical appetites. American Musical Supply stocks the latest and greatest gear from today's top brands. Everything for beginner to seasoned professionals. Everything from the podcaster, that's me, to recording enthusiasts. enthusiasts, that's me, guitarist, drummer, vocalist, DJ, and much more, all of it is me. And American Musical Supply has the best payment plans, too. They approve more people, and they don't require me to open up a credit card. They just use the one I've got. So go to AmericanMusical.com and use the commercial break promo code TCB to receive $20 off your purchase of over $100. That's AmericanMusical.com and use the commercial break promo code TCB to receive $20 off that first purchase of over $100. We've been checking out the website, and I think the next purchase around this house is going to be a good pair of earplugs. AmericanMusical.com, use the code TCB, and thanks to American Musical Supply for becoming a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
I got kind of a weird one from a lady named Lady. Her name is Lady.
Oh.
Or that's what she's calling herself.
Yeah.
So Lady sent me in a story that is bullet pointed. So it's a little strange. It's not in the normal format I think I would, you know, it's usually paragraph. You write a story, you have paragraphs, uh-huh. Right? That she just wrote kind of the, I guess she's given me like the Reader's Digest version of this story.
You put it together.
But I think it is worthy of getting some airtime here on the commercial break.
I can't wait to hear.
If you remember, we had a story a couple months ago when a guy had his wedding. The mother-in-law seduced him. He was in a moment of weakness. He got naked, and she took pictures and showed it to everybody
right.
the
she
next day.
She seduced him because she wanted to bust him. She didn't want the daughter to marry him.
She had no interest in him.
Yeah,
she was
so
really
she
upset.
Purposefully seduced him,
yeah.
Took pictures, and then showed her daughter.
And then showed her daughter the next morning before the wedding, and it never happened, never went down. As a matter of fact, they sent him away in an Uber.
They did.
Well, they were all on the porch waving goodbye. It's cold. Cold.
So cold.
Okay. So we have another wedding story. So Lady says, best to you, Brian and Chrissy.
Oh, best to you, Lady.
I've been enjoying the show lately. I'm a rather new listener, about 3 months in, and I've been listening to some of your back episodes. And I heard the story about the boner pick wedding, is what she calls it. And I think I've got a story that one ups that. I'd like to share it with you. Best to you, love you, whatever. Okay, here we go. Ready? I'm going to try and weave this out of some bullet points. So excuse me if I, you know, this is not word for word verbatim. I'm just going to try and pull it.
Give it to us.
Okay, so Lady goes to a wedding of her best, or one of her friends. She doesn't say best friends, but it sounds like they're good friends. Casey. So Casey's got a wedding. She gets invited to this wedding and they're ready to rock. She is not a bridesmaid in this wedding. It's apparently a very small wedding. There's just like two or three bridesmaids. There's a maid of honor. Mm-hmm. And the maid of honor is supposedly Casey's best friend. Casey is the girl's getting married to Billy. Okay?
Okay.
So Billy and Casey, rather small wedding, kind of an intimate affair. She says that her friend Casey is a rather needy person and that the relationship between her and Billy has been tumultuous at times.
Ooh.
And that Lady believes the reason why is because Billy's feeling a little bit smothered. They argue a lot, sometimes in public, sometimes when they're out with their friends. They have disagreements. We all know this couple. And we've all been this couple.
Yes.
I speak for myself.
On both counts. We've known the couples and we've been the couples.
That's right. You have to, if you're more than, if you're at 25 years old, you've been that couple, yes. Right? You've had that relationship that you just can't run away from fast enough, but you just can't get back to fast enough.
Exactly.
One of those relationships. Love, hate, the true definition, but you know, opposites attract and fire and ice.
Throw some alcohol into it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, put a couple lines of cocaine here and there, and the whole thing goes to hell in a handbasket. All right, so you get the picture of the relationship between Casey and Billy. Casey and Billy are kind of fire and ice. They're not always getting along well. It's difficult to be around them sometimes, and some of the friends have even approached Casey and said, hey, listen, this is probably not a good idea. Yeah, are you sure you really want to get married to Billy? Casey assures everybody, yes, I want to get married to Billy. We love each other.
Well, she's the smothering one, so she wants him.
I mean, but maybe that's one side of the story, right? If you don't know Billy all that well, you never know.
Two sides to every story.
But apparently it's her kind of needy, hovering nature that is causing a lot of the drama in the relationship. As a matter of fact, Lady goes a step beyond to say she believed Billy to be a rather good guy. He had a steady job. He seemed like a nice, decent, honest person. He was always polite and well appropriated when they were together, unless she was fighting with Casey.
Right.
And then she said on occasion, it got nasty.
Ooh.
Okay. So I can see this all going down in my own life.
Nasty in a bad way.
Yeah, nasty in a bad way. Like, you know, yelling, screaming, poking, drinks, throwing. I don't know that, but I'm filling in the... yeah. I only have bullet points here, guys. I'm trying to color commentate, okay? So I can imagine how this goes. I've seen these relationships in my own life.
Oh,
like,
of course.
And then you go, what the fuck are you doing exactly? Why go through all this drama? Why don't you just find someone it's easy with?
Yes.
Okay, wedding week approaches and everyone travels to the wedding location.
Well, I think that just to backstep here for a second, I think people think in their head that they've got this idea of where they should be at certain points in their life and that kind of thing. And so it's, you know, you try to make it work.
I think if you polled my first wife, I think if you asked her, she'd probably think similar thoughts that I thought about my first marriage, which was, maybe we should have broken up and we decided to get married instead because we didn't know where else to go with it. Right. It was like, well, I think we want to be together and we're living together and we've been together for a long time.
Right.
And isn't this kind of the natural next step is just to get engaged, even though we probably should have taken a long, hard look at the situation and said, it's maybe not a great fit.
Yeah.
You know, both of us were fine human beings, but it just wasn't a great fit.
Now I know your ex-wife. She's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, amazing.
Chrissy likes her better than she likes me. She was a lovely human being.
Yes, lovely.
But, you know, we were young and dumb, and we thought that was the right thing to do.
That's the next step.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I don't get into all that. That's her business. But let's just say that we all, not all, but a lot of us, when we're young, I think that we think there's like steps to this process. And you get to that step, and you're like, oh, that will fix things. It never fixes things.
No, you can't fix things.
No. You can't fix anything.
You're doomed to fail if you get married. Take things for face value. Take the other person for face value because for you to try and go in and fix somebody, it's not good.
That's right. 100%.
Yeah.
If you're marrying a guy and he's like sleeping with other women, it's likely it's not going to change.
Exactly.
Right. If I won't get into all the details. I was going to say something. For once, I'll shut my mouth. So they get to the location on the wedding week, and it's not exactly a fine start to the wedding week. Uh-huh. As Lady comes in, and immediately there is arguments between the groom and the bride. And actually, the bride's mother had to step in and calm her own daughter down from a particular argument. So she gets into town. You know, or gets to wherever the wedding location is. Yeah, stomping around, pissing, moaning, yelling, screaming, all this other stuff. And apparently alcohol is fueling some of these discussions. And the mom of the bride, her own mother had to step in and be like, hey, you're out of line here, right?
Rev down.
So Lady and a couple of the bridesmaids back chatter and they decide they're going to get together with Casey one more time. One last plot, right? And it's the maid of honor, indeed, that starts this whole conversation that says we should have an intervention. We should talk to Casey. She should not be getting married to this guy.
Can I just pause here and say, have you ever done that before? Like, I would be mortified if before I got married, somebody came to me and said.
Yeah. Do you remember the story about me and being in the bridesmaid's house that one time?
Oh,
and they got in that whole argument and I like pulled the guy aside like they wanted me to say something.
Yeah.
And we all said to these people, you should not get married tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, we'll have the reception.
I've
let's party.
That, in that, yeah. Let's just have the party.
I had a therapist once that told me. I paid to tell me that. Yeah, I mean, like, it's got to be a really difficult situation to be in. Yeah.
And for to be the on the receiving end, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to be, everybody's coming to you and saying, you really need to rethink this.
If my father or any of my brothers came to me and said, this is just like a no-go, you should never get married to this person, I would take a breath.
You gotta take it to account.
Yeah, I would take a step.
Yeah.
I find my dad to be a rather pragmatic guy. He doesn't get involved in my personal life. He loves my current wife, which is part of the reason why I have no qualms. Like, my dad's a good, great judge of character.
Yeah.
If he said to me, this is problematic, then I would put it down immediately. Immediately, I would be like, okay, let's just go to therapy for a couple months and we'll see how this works out. But I can imagine how much drama this is causing on the week of the wedding.
Yeah, the week of the wedding.
The maid of honor who knows this girl the best is the one who's like, hey, we really got to have this intervention.
Okay.
So maid of honor. So they stage this intervention and Casey won't back down. She's like, no, we're meant to get married. We're supposed to be together. This is my man and I'm getting married to him no matter what.
I've paid for everything.
Yeah, I've paid for that's right. I've paid for everything. You guys are here. Why not? So with no luck, they'd make the best of a bad situation and...
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
I mean,
sorry about
say?
That. Yeah.
Okay, cheers then. Congratulations.
Hey, Casey, it's me, Jenny. Yeah, listen, I saw Billy with his dick in a goat yesterday, and it's a little strange to bring it up this soon before the wedding. But I just thought you might want to know that you're Billy is a Billy Goat fucker.
Yes.
So you probably don't want to get married to him. Nope. Hey, nope. He's my man. Okay. Well, I'm glad we had this talk and I'm really looking forward to the wedding.
I know, right? Like,
I'm super excited about my dress. What are you wearing?
Okay, then.
Exactly. It's just a little weird after that, right? Sounds like Casey might not be 100% aware of what's going on around her. Okay. So wedding day comes and at the altar, everyone's at the altar, everyone's getting ready to get married and the bride starts to cry as brides often do. I shed a few tears at my second wedding, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you're shedding wedding, but the maid of honor is also crying hysterically. Okay. Maid of honor, right?
Okay.
Is crying hysterically, crying more than the bride does is what lady says.
Okay.
At the reception. There we go to a small intimate reception with less than 100 people in the room. And at some point, the maid of honor is speaking at a small table in the corner with the groom in a very heated fashion. So maybe now the maid of honor, my first thought is the maid of honor is taking it upon herself to get in the middle of this.
Oh, well, I was thinking there's something going on between the groom and the maid of honor.
The maid of honor was visibly upset.
Yeah.
She stormed off at one point and never returned to the reception.
Mm.
Casey, in a drunken state, decided that she couldn't go forward in the reception if her maid of honor wasn't with her and needed to find her at the hotel.
Yeah, I mean,
they
that's usually a best friend.
Yeah, that's your best friend. What happened to my fucking best friend? Fighting with my husband and then she ran off. What happened?
Yeah.
Right? A search party has gotten together just like that. Just like, what was that guy's name?
Yes.
Yeah. A search party has gotten together. And Casey
just
remember that?
Yes.
They
were searching on the beach.
Oh, Thad. Thad. Yeah.
Thad
the dangling
Chad.
Searching on the beach. They found him.
Yeah.
They found him. Fucking the bride, wasn't it? Or something?
Something like
fucking
that.
The bridesmaid or something? That was a good one. So the maid of honor storms off. The bride in a drunken state decides to put together a search party. The bride was gone for almost an hour while we were sitting down at the reception. And the groom...
What's Casey doing? Just eating, enjoying the stay?
No, Casey is gone.
Oh, she's part of
gone.
The search party.
She's gone for almost an hour, she's saying. She went to go search.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Casey did. Went to go search for the bride.
I meant lady.
Oh, lady.
So lady's just hanging out.
Yeah, I guess.
Drinking some wine.
I guess.
And eating steak.
Sure. It's a little dramatic, but you know, hey, the bride's drunk.
Hopefully they find her.
Yeah.
Find her.
Yeah, hopefully they find her. Drink's only till 9, so we better get drinking. I love this song. Let's dance.
Right? They're out on the dance floor.
I mean, listen, it's not unusual for a little drama to happen at a wedding. I mean, usually the bride isn't gone for an hour, but okay, she's gone for an hour. And Billy this entire time is apparently sitting and stewing at a table while some of his friends try and console him about whatever has happened. But he's mum. No words. He won't say anything. He's just visibly upset is how this is told to me.
Bulleted.
The bride came back into the reception, walked directly up to the groom, screamed in his face, and slapped him on the chin.
Uh-oh.
She then turned around and screamed to the rest of the room that he had been cheating with the maid of honor.
I saw that coming with how hard she was crying.
No, that was as I was reading the bullet points, I was like, I don't get what's going on here. But now I understand. So apparently the maid of honor leading the charge to stop this wedding from happening. She found her moment and she tried to stop it. She tried to, in her own way, to say, this guy is not for you because he's been putting his dick in me the entire time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane. Can
when
you imagine
this? I hear about those with the best friends stuff. I mean,
it's just the worst of the worst.
And it happens more than you think. It's crazy.
It's insane.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I
won't
know
get into
people.
I won't get into every nitty gritty detail, but I have been to weddings where inappropriate things have happened. I've been to a wedding where the bride, in a drunken state, right, got a little too close for comfort. Let's put it that way. Now, obviously, you know, being the gentleman that I am, I slept with her and then left the wedding, so I wasn't there wasn't any drama.
Right.
No, but, you know, I was like, okay, gotcha. Yeah, done.
You've got
you should
that
go back to your
magnetic-tism.
I used to.
You still got
I used
it.
To.
Let's take you to a wedding.
Yeah.
let's
see if Brian's got it. Let's crash a wedding and see if Brian can sleep with the bride.
Yes. Astrid, we'll be back.
Yeah, Astrid, it's for the show. It's for the show.
It's all for the show, honey.
You think I like this? You think I like being a part of the commercial break's stupid plot to get me to sleep with a beautiful bride? Huh? I don't know what you're so upset about. I'm the one that's got to stick my dick in her. I got to go back on the commercial break and talk about it. I'm the one that's going to look like an asshole, not you.
It's research.
Yeah, it's research. But we didn't get great audio on the first one, so we got to do it again.
Right.
Oh, Astrid would not suffer me for 1 minute.
Oh, no.
She'd be gone. This caused mass chaos at the reception, as you can imagine.
Right.
Yeah, as you can imagine. Casey stormed off. And the father of the bride directly stepped in the groom's face.
And punched him.
Screaming and yelling. No, it doesn't say anything about got physical. The groom just stood there, silent, with nothing to say. He had no idea what to do, quite frankly. He looked very scared. We all charged back to the bridal suite after Casey. She was a hot fucking mess. Obviously, right?
Yeah, wow.
She just found out that not only this guy that she,
just married
10 minutes yes. ago, is sleeping with her best friend for a period of time. This had been going on by this bullet point for almost a year.
Ooh.
A year.
Yeah, that wasn't a one night thing.
No, the entire time they're engaged, he's sleeping with her best friend. This is fucked up, man. Yeah, you're right. This might one up the other story. Like, I mean, having a boner around your wife's or soon to be wife's mother-in-law is bad, but nothing happened between the two of you.
Yeah.
You just got a little frisky and you got a little too excited. But this one, where you're actually sleeping with the maid of honor.
That is
can't
crazy.
Even imagine. No conscience. No conscience whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
The groom stood there was silent with nothing to say. We had no idea what to do. We all went back to the bridal suite to try and console Casey. She's a hot mess. And eventually, the maid of honor ended up calling Casey.
Oh.
Casey puts it on speakerphone, and we all heard the conversation.
Oh,
it was awkward, to say the least, as everybody decided to chime in screaming and yelling about what an asshole this girl was to Casey. But Casey took the side of the maid of honor and decided this was all Billy's fault, that Billy had started this and that she had succumbed to his magnetism. Doesn't sound like Billy's a real charmer.
It does.
I can imagine this wedding. I'm imagining this wedding at like a Holiday Inn somewhere.
Yeah,
you know what
that's
I'm saying?
What I'm picturing.
Yeah, like
a
Motel 6.
Yeah. Type. Yeah.
Really bright lights and, you know, a DJ in the corner playing his first generation iPod. You know, I'm
somewhere in Florida.
So probably. So a plan is hatched between the maid of honor and Casey. They decide they're packing up their shit, they're getting in the Uber, and they're leaving the hotel.
Yeah, hell yeah, I'd be out of there.
Unfortunately, Billy is outside smoking cigarettes with some people from his own family.
They're like, Billy.
I know. They're like, hey, Billy,
you really messed this up.
Listen, I love you, bud, but I'm going to need to take like a 2-year timeout from hanging out with you. Can we WhatsApp and encrypted text message? Do you mind? I'm going to unfriend you from Facebook, but we're still friends. And Instagram, probably not even Instagram. TikTok, you can follow me. How's that? You can follow me. I'm cool with that.
I bet he needed a cigarette too.
Yeah.
After
oh
that.
Man, if I didn't, I would start smoking again in a minute. Even if I was in the room, I'd start smoking again. I'd be like, wow.
Give me one of those.
Yeah, give me one of those. I feel like I just had sex with the bridesmaid. This is awesome.
Right?
I would love this. Yeah. I would be like, this is great. I'm going to get a great story for the commercial. Right? Great. Yeah.
They hatched a plan.
Yeah, they hatched a plan. They're going to get in. They're going to pack their stuff. They're going to get in an Uber. They are going to go off to wherever they're going. Doesn't really say here. Meanwhile, Billy's out front of the hotel smoking cigarettes in a world full of shit with some of his friends and family members. As the bride steps outside, Billy approaches her to have a conversation,
hey,
saying,
baby.
I'm sorry, can we talk about this? Can we talk about this?
Let's just talk.
This is when the second smack happened, but it didn't come from the bride. It came from the maid of honor.
Oh.
She smacked Billy. They jumped in the Uber and off they went. The groom had slept with the bridesmaid, and that was that. A quickie divorce would be had in the next 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Like the null.
Yeah. And still to this day, Casey says she has not spoken to Billy about anything of substance, only shit regarding the divorce and how we separate and how they separate the house. She claims she will never speak to him again. We have some friends that are still friends with Billy, and apparently even though the maid of honor drove off with Casey, she continued the relationship with Billy for the next 6 months.
Wow.
Some people even thought they might get married, though that never happened. Eventually, the two of them broke up. You can imagine how uncomfortable this was for people who were friendly with both parties. But I thought I'd share my story with you about the one time that the maid of honor tried to break up the wedding because she was in love with the groom.
Yeah, that is wild.
Is a wild story. Yeah. That's a wild story. Thanks for the bullet point. I prefer the paragraphs, but you know, hey, I did fine coloring in my own stuff. Yeah. I got an imagination. I can figure it out. I mean, I don't even know, like, what do you say? Let's say you're friends with Billy. Mm-hmm. What do you say to Billy at that moment?
Dude.
What were you thinking? I mean, there's 1.5 million women within earshot of us. Like, you could have slept with anybody, and you slept with the future maid of honor at your wedding?
Well, the best friend thingy happens. It does more than you think. I know personally people that it happened to.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
I dated a friend one time. Like, I dated a friend you know the person. We're like always, you know, getting together, breaking up, making up.
Yeah,
and a friend Facebooked me one time about a completely unrelated subject. I made a post and she was like, oh, I didn't know you were into this. And I was like, yeah, I'm into this. And
rope.
I'm into you. Yeah.
The sex rope.
Rope, that's right. The origami. Origami. What was it?
Now you're into this.
Naku Naku or something? Yes, like the sex rope? Yeah.
The sex rope.
And she was like, oh, I didn't know you were into this. And I was like, yeah. And then it just kind of went sideways from there. And so me and the girl that I was dating were kind of in this always.
Yeah, but nobody was married.
That's true.
Nobody was married.
No one's getting married.
Yeah, no one's getting married. Thank God.
Never any thought
no
of that.
No one got married.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God.
Yes.
Oh, man. Can you imagine how different my life would be right now? Oh. I'd be dead. I'd probably be dead.
You would be dead. We wouldn't be friends.
Oh, you would have left me over that?
I mean, I tried.
Would you have gone to the wedding?
Of course I would.
Yeah, I know you would have showed up for the wedding. But you wouldn't have liked it.
No.
No. You guys, you and Rachel
would have
stood
there. I would have cried.
Yeah.
I would have cried.
Oh, he's going to die in that relationship.
I know, right?
If I hadn't already. If I hadn't died from the relationship yet, the wedding probably would have certainly. Yeah. I can only imagine
things over the ledge.
What a train wreck that would have been. Yeah. I don't think we would ever made it to the altar, to be honest with
you.
No,
you wouldn't have. No.
No, we did it. We'd inevitably get in some argument minutes before we were supposed to get married, and it would have gone sideways. But I did. But there was a friend here or there, right? And I know it wasn't the best judgment on my behalf, but sometimes you can't. You know, you can't control who you like. And I never did it while I was actually dating someone else. Like, I was never with, I never cheated on someone with a friend. I still realize that I may have betrayed trust by hanging out with a friend, but I was young and dumb. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that you do. Have you ever slept with a friend?
I've ever slept with a friend. Yeah. I mean, but yes, I have.
A friend of someone you were dating.
Oh, that friend. Yeah. No, we were
friends. Have you ever gone like lateral? Did you ever do a lateral move into a friend?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty shitty thing to do, actually.
Well, I mean, no one's married.
Yeah.
And it was a breakup a while back.
Okay, a breakup a while back.
And then a friend in the same friend group.
Okay.
We'll call it the same friend group.
Okay, friend group. This was close. Not close friend, but friend enough.
Yeah.
Right? In communication. Well, listen, and then there's been a few cousins, and one time there was a sister, the sister one.
I'm really close with someone who this happened to in their marriage. It was best friend marriage,
Oh, really?
Cheating.
So they got married.
Yeah, two people were married.
Yep.
Two couples.
A man and a woman.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, and they went intertwined?
Best friend with the husband.
Really?
Yeah. Like the best friend of the girl with the husband. They were all good friends.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope.
Wow, that is fucked up. That's really fucked up. That'd be like Jeff sleeping with Astrid kind of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd lose my fucking shit.
Yeah, right?
I'd be like, ah!
Right?
I'm not a violent guy, but that might set me off. Oh, yeah. That would be a really tough one to swallow.
That went on for a while.
Oh. Like a long time?
Yeah.
A long period of time?
Yeah.
Like a sustained period of bullshit?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
How do you live like that? Mm-mm. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
I don't know.
I'd be like, motherfucker, what am I getting myself into?
Yep.
I should just wake up Astrid right now and tell her the whole thing. I mean, honestly, I, you know, they say that the guilt will kill you. The guilt will kill you. That's for
That's
sure.
That's why you just don't go there.
That's right. You got any good stories about sleeping with your best friend's friend?
Or your best friend.
Or your best friend. You got any good cheating stories? That's what I want to hear now. I want to hear some cheating stories.
All right,
guys, I'm calling you up from the bullpen. I want cheating stories to 661-237-8296. You can text it to us, 661, the word best, the number 2, Y-O-Y-O, or you can send it to us at tcbpodcast.com. Hit the contact us button. There's a little form. Just write it out right there, and I will respond to you, or someone will respond to you, and you follow up with questions or maybe try and refine the story a little bit. But send your stories, and I want to hear your best cheating story from you or about somebody you know. Send it in. We'll talk all about it right here on the show. You can watch these full episodes at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Full episodes a couple days after they air. Clips every single day of the week at the commercial break on Instagram. Astrid is going to make a post. Astrid's going to make a post on that Instagram.
Wow.
We have decided.
I've left mine to the wayside. But you can still follow me if you'd like.
Yeah, follow Chrissy. Follow TCB Brian. And I think it's Brian or something. You'll figure it out. Go there and you'll figure it out. We never post. And that's part of the reason why we don't have any followers, because we just never post. I mean,
can't.
Why would you post? Yeah. Why would you follow an account that never does anything?
I know, right? Yeah.
I also have a TikTok account that is exactly one follower.
That's me.
That's you. I know. And then I asked TikTok if I could do lives because I wanted to start doing some cool stuff with lives. And they said no.
Nope.
You're spam. Desktop Meta user.
Yeah. One follower.
Old white man, desktop Meta user. No. No, we don't want that shit on our platform.
Leave me alone.
It's guys like you that come up with NyQuil chicken. We're off it. We're off it. We're not about it. All right. So send in your stories. Thank you very much for listening. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, wherever you're listening right now. Please hit the subscribe button so you never miss one of the 6.5 million episodes that we put out on a monthly basis.
Yes. And more, because this is the ones we actually put out.
Oh, yeah.
We also record.
Yeah, it took us 2 hours just to get to this point in the show. All right. You know how we do it. We don't do it very well, but you know what? We're not as good as the best, but we're better than most. There you go.
I love that.
All right. I guess that's all I can do today, Chrissy.
I will say this.
I will say that I love you.
I love you, Brian.
I will say best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I do say, we must say, and we always say,
bye. Bye.